Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, just giving you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. Heavenly Father, just acknowledging you as the Most High God. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, you are God Jehovah, the self-existent God. Heavenly Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are the great I am. Father God, you are our everything, oh God. And we thank you. We thank you for your omnipotence. We thank you for your omniscience. We thank you for your omnipresence. Heavenly Father, and we thank you for your everlasting love, Lord God, your unconditional love toward us. Heavenly Father, we're so blessed and privileged, oh God, to know you, to have you, to be able to pray to you, oh God. Heavenly Father, and we thank you for this wonderful privilege, Lord God, to be able to seek you, oh God, even through your word. And our prayer tonight, Lord God, is that you would reveal yourself to us. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts explicitly, oh God. Heavenly Father, intentionally, oh God, the very things, oh God, that you desire to be engrafted in us, that we might be continually shaped and conformed to the very likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That is your glory, oh God. That is our glory, oh God. That is our shared glory, our fellowship, oh God. Heavenly Father, in our conforming, oh God, so have your way. Touch Pastor Wright. Heavenly Father, fill him, equip him, oh God. Magnify thyself in him and manifest thyself through him, oh God, even unto our edification, that you might receive all glory, honor, and praise. We commend this time to you. Be glorified in it. Mm-hmm. Be magnified in it, oh God. We thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray. Amen.
So tonight we're going to talk about the power of a renewed mind. Thank you, Minister Williams. Thank you for opening us up. The power of a renewed mind. When you talk about the mind, we're going to take a look at the mind and that when the Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 2, that we must take on the mind of Christ, to take on the mind of Christ or the spirit of the mind of Christ. When the Bible talks about that, it doesn't, you don't flip a switch and you turn on and you get the mind of Christ. But even after salvation, the mind of Christ, we grow into that mind. So we grow in that mind. We grow in that mind. We grow in that mind of Christ. And so that's what it means when it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be made equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. You grow in that mind. And so here on our sheet, just a couple texts that we're going to be looking at tonight. And the first one is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. holy and acceptable unto God. And so we talk about this word. Let's look at this word sacrifice. We look at this word sacrifice. We know that in the Old Testament, we see how they sacrifice lambs and sacrifice sheep in the Old Testament or in the tabernacle. But now we've done away with sacrificing the animals because of the ultimate sacrifice. Who was the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus Christ. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And because he was the ultimate sacrifice, guess what? He gave his life, right? He died for us. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose on the third day. And because he ascended on high, and even I thank God for the lesson that we had on John chapter 14 the other morning, Minister Williams talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm going away to prepare a place. And when you look at the Holy Spirit, Christ now comes, and you look at the early church, or in Acts chapter 2, the filling of the Holy Ghost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. So guess what? Christ now lives in us. And as he lives in us, guess what? We are now a living sacrifice. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we are now a living sacrifice. Amen. We're not a dead sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice. So when he says we are a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And how do you become a living sacrifice? You become a living sacrifice by giving up of yourself. Amen. By denying yourself, by taking the high road, by dying to self. That's how you become a living sacrifice. Because guess what? We're still living. We're still here in the physical. But guess what? We become dead to what we want and we live for Christ. And now we are a living sacrifice. And there's some gospel verses. I call them gospel verses. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with who? With Christ. Nevertheless, who? I live. Yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. So that verse shows our death, right? Burial, and our resurrection. Same thing with Romans chapter 6. There's some gospel verses in there that show we're dead to ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're to walk in the newness of life. Gospel verses. Another one is Philippians 3:10. Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable unto his death. So we see our death, we see our suffering on the cross, we see our burial, and we see our resurrection with Christ. And that's what makes us a living sacrifice. When we take on the mind of Christ, amen, that Christ now lives in us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, here we go. Gospel verse. Old things are passed away. We're buried to them things. That's what baptism is. We're buried to them things. Old disposition, old mindset, old attitudes. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are what? Have become new. And it's the newness of life that we must walk in, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the cycle, it's the continuum that we go through suffering, death, burial, and resurrection that Christ might live in us. So that's what he means when he talks about a living sacrifice. Then he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by, and this is what we want to talk about tonight, the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Amen. The renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And I thank God for the power of his word. I thank God for his living word. That, guess what? We always talk about, you can read a verse, right? Read it a month later. And that same verse that you thought you understood means something else or something totally different. And it's the illumination of the Holy Spirit that grows us from one degree of grace to another. Amen. So when he talks about renewing of the mind or renewing your mind, that's what Christ has called us to do. Because guess what, y'all? After salvation, we get saved, right? The Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us, right? But guess what? We still need to be delivered or further conformed. So we have salvation. And after salvation comes sanctification. Mm-hmm. So he that has begun a good work in us will continue it. And so we continue to conform or transform into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when he says here in 12 or 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed continually. The world is going clockwise, right? Right? And God has called us to transform counterclockwise. Amen. So they're going this way, but the word of God spins us this way. That's we're right. Called to go counterclockwise. We're going in two different directions. The world's going downstream. But guess what? God's got us going upstream. So when he says, be not conformed to this world, you're either conforming to this world or you're transforming to Christ. So the world is going one way and we're called to transform. We're called to transform out of this world. And so listen, and so when we look at this sheet, the threefold nature of man, right? You have the body, you have the soul, and you have the spirit. And so it's the soul, right? After salvation, the spirit comes to live in us. This is important. The spirit of Christ comes to live in us, comes to indwell the believer, right? And guess what, y'all? It's the soul. It's the natural man. It's the soul that stands in between. So I'm going to use an illustration of this is what I've been delivered from, right? The old man, the old disposition, old attitudes, old fleshly attitudes, appetites, right? And then you have the soul, and then you have the spirit. And it's the soul that stands in between the old man and the new man. It's the soul that stands between the old spirit, right? Or who you were, and stands between who you are now, which is Christ. And guess what? It's the fight between the old man and the new man. Mm-hmm. And that's why Galatians 5:16 says, for the flesh warreth after the spirit, and the spirit lusteth after the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. These two are contrary because they're forever fighting. They're forever fighting. That's the your greatest battle is between the flesh and the spirit. That's what the battle is. And that's why Galatians gives all these allegories. Galatians, if you read the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4 and chapter 5, it gives these examples of Sarah and the handmaiden. It gives these examples of the natural seed and the promised seed. It gives these examples of Ishmael, right? And Isaac. Isaac was the promised son. Ishmael was the son of the bond servant, right? And we know the text that eventually, right? Because when Isaac was born, Ishmael had to be about somewhere around maybe 12, right? Or 13. And God told Sarah that she was going to have a son from her natural womb. And Sarah said, impossible. Abraham was thinking impossible, but he didn't. Sarah laughed. And we know the story. Sarah told Abraham to go into her handmaiden, Hagar. Sarah told Abraham, say, lay with my handmaiden because I don't think I can have children. I'm almost 100 years old. I don't think I can have a child because my wombs are dead. And so y'all know Abraham. Abraham was like, well, you think Abraham would have been like, no. He's like, well, okay. So he went in and conceived the child with her servant, right? But God said, no. That was a fleshly decision. That was a natural decision. But God says no. And then eventually, what was dead produced life. Sarah had the son. And God says, you must put the woman and the bond son, put the son of the bond woman, you must put them out. Right? Ishmael had to go. Ishmael was still blessed. Ishmael still was the son of Abraham, but he was not the promised seed. And guess what? Listen. Because of a fleshly decision, out of that house, one house, were born two nations. Because of a fleshly decision that we make in life can cause us a lifetime of headache and heartache because we chose to go our way. We chose to be led by our flesh and not be led by the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And guess what? And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. Amen. Mm-hmm. But you see resentment. You see hatred. Yeah. You see killings, bombings, so many things going on, the persecution, because of a fleshly decision. Yeah. Amen. And that, listen, and that's the same thing. When the two were in the house, Ishmael picked on Isaac, started plucking him in the back of the head. The two could not stay in the same house. And that's the same thing we have going on the inside. The two natures are warring against each other. And guess what? That brings us all the way back here to Romans 12. Where it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you look on that sheet, you see the spirit. You see, once we get saved, guess what? We still, listen, our soul was embedded to the flesh. And we're going to look at James chapter 3. Our soul was married to our flesh. And so there must come a separation with the sword of the spirit to crucify our old nature, to crucify those old thoughts, to crucify those old feelings, to crucify that old lust spirit. It has to be crucified. How we think, what we're going to do, how are we going to pay somebody back? Somebody did us wrong, right? Those old man mentalities, guess what? We have the word of God. And you see here, when you have the soul that stands between the body and the spirit. Amen. And in the soul, which is the natural man, you have your imagination, you have the conscience, you have memory, you have reason, right? And then you have affections. And so all those are embedded. And we're going to look at that. All those are embedded in the solical realm. And then you have memory. You have the memory. And all those, when we talk about renewing of the mind, it's the word of God that renews the mind. And then see, you have these gates. This is the body. So the very out one that says carnal, that says body, soma, carnal, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when Paul told the those in the Corinthian church that they were carnal Christians. They were carnal. He said, by now you should be on meat, but you're still on milk because you're carnal. Some say I'm on Paul. Some say I'm of Apollos. Amen. There was a stepson sleeping with his stepmother. Right. And nobody would step to him and say anything. There was an idol. There was a statue where prostitutes would hang out in the town, not in the church, but in the town. And the influence and the culture of an evil world was influencing the church. And so see here, you have your gates. These are the gates. You got five gates. What are the gates, y'all? Sight, smell, hearing, taste, and feel gate, touch. Those are the gates. Those are the gates. And those gates are in the body, right? And those gates can lead to and affect the soul. That's why I remember the song the kids used to sing, be careful of your eyes of what you see. Be careful of your ears of what you hear. Amen. And so those are the gates. And so when you look at something or somebody saw something or saw somebody fall out of a building or you saw some porn, you saw somebody get exposed on the internet or whatever, those things you see, and they have the Grammys and R&B artists up on stage, a hot flesh mess. And we see this stuff. We see this stuff on Yahoo. We see this stuff on Instagram. And it's in our eyes. Listen, it's in our eyes. We see it. And these things become baked into our conscience. They become baked into our thoughts. And the Bible says, there's nothing in the world but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the what? Eye, and the what? Pride of life. That's what's in this world. And guess what? The enemy is doing a trick, and Minister Williams always talks about it. He's playing tapes over and over again. Reality shows, different shows. I'm just keeping up with this one and keeping up with that one. And the tattoos that are out of control, so many things that are going on in the world through the eye gate. And then we have the hear gate, the ear gate, what we hear, the things that we hear. Right? And so two things we're going to look at tonight is the eye gate and the ear gate. Those are the two gates. Amen. Those are the two gates that we have to keep. And guess what? Listen, it's what we feed through those gates that determines the battle, that determines whether the old man, whether the old man will dominate or whether the new man will dominate. So we got to watch the gates. Amen. We've got to keep the gates. Christ must guard the gate. Mm-hmm. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the light. And it's what we hear. And so a lot of time when these thoughts come in, somebody saw something. Or maybe through the touch gate, maybe something happened in the home as a child. Or maybe we experience some things in life through these gates. And I hear people say, you know, there's some things that you can see that you can't unsee. There's some things you can see that you can't unsee. Guess what? It's only the blood of Jesus. Amen. That can close them doors. And when God talks about, when the word of God says, I will open doors that no man can shut. And I will shut doors that no man can open. Amen. The Bible also talks about the mind and what we think and these things that entered in. And there's a verse that says, as a man thinketh, what? So is he. Amen. And the Bible also says a double-minded man, talks about the mind, is unstable in all his ways. As a man thinks, so is he. Right? So a man thinks has he, and it's in the mind. So when we look at the body, the soul, and the spirit, and it's the soul that stands between, it's the gates. It's what you feed your mind. Amen. It's what you feed. Because guess what? The thought life, our thought life. Now, I know we're not led by our thoughts, right? We are not led by what we think. We ought not to be led by what we feel. We're led by the Spirit of the Most High God. Amen. But we have to grow in who we are. We have to grow in the truth of God's word. And that's called sanctification. And it's sanctification, amen, that conforms us and shapes us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so that's why when we say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, excellent, and perfect will of God. We have to grow. In the Bible, Paul always talks about those that were on milk must grow. You should be on meat already. And it's our renewing of the mind. So when we talk about the eye gate, right? We talk about the thoughts, our thoughts, and the thought life, right? And listen, and something can happen. Something can happen. Somebody could say something. Somebody could say something to us and mess us up. Anybody ever been there? Somebody said something to them and messed them up? Amen. Or your husband or spouse or your child or your boss. And they could just get up on the wrong side of the bed. But whatever, listen, or you could have an argument or fight with somebody. Whatever that attitude is, whatever that thought life is, it's important that we know that our minds ought to be renewed day by day. Amen. We have to renew our minds. Amen. And the Bible also talks about in Joshua. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Listen, there was a curse. There was a curse over the children of Israel. Although their parents had died out. Although their parents had died out in the wilderness, there was still a cloud. There was still, and they were not ready to possess Canaan land. And so here in Joshua, verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do all according to the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest, that thou may have good success. Then it says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart, where? Out of thy mouth. And thou shalt what? Meditate therein, how? Day and night. Day and night we ought to meditate. That means we got to get in the word. The Bible says, receive with meekness the what? Ingrafted word of God. The ingrafted word of God that's able to save your soul. When the Bible says it's able to save your soul, that's not talking about, don't get me wrong, it's the word that saves, it's the word, but even for us, the believers who are already saved, the word is able to save us. That means the word is able to deliver us. The word is able to keep our mind in perfect peace once we get in it, once we stay in it, and it's able to renew our mind. Amen. So when he says that thou mayest observe to do in verse 8, all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee to be strong and courageous? Be not afraid. Amen. Neither to be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you. So here he's telling Joshua, meditate on the word. Also in Psalms chapter 1, we know it. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he what? How? Meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. It's our meditation on the word. And then it's our bait. So not only did they meditate on the word in the book of Joshua, right? But we know the story. We know the story. They went on and at Gilgal, after they obeyed, because God would give them certain instructions, they would have to obey the instructions. And then at Gilgal, they had to be circumcised. So it's meditating on the word, right? Then it's our obedience in the word to do. The word must be applied. It's once we meditate, the word will dictate those thoughts. The word will crucify those thoughts. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they're what? Mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Strong. So those strongholds, all those thoughts that you have running through your mind, what somebody did to you, what somebody didn't do for you, what happened, an attitude, an argument, or sensual thoughts, or lustful thoughts, or thoughts of unforgiveness, or how about mental thoughts? How about depression? How about anxiety? Wherever the thought comes from, whether it's a sinful thought or whether it's just a crazy thought. How about a crazy? You ever get a crazy thought? Just crazy. You feel like you want to do something. You could get a thought in your mind. It's just crazy. Don't belong there. But it's continuing in the word. Continuing the word that the word cleanses. It renews. It restores the mind. Psalms 119 says, how can a young man, what? Cleanse his ways. By taking what? Heed to the word of God. And you can tell me you can live in this world? The craziness that's going on in this world and not be in the word for a week or 2 weeks? And your mind don't become clogged and saturated with stuff? Amen. And verse 6 of chapter 5 in Joshua. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness to all the people that were men of war and came out of Egypt and were consumed because, listen, y'all see that? They obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and whom the Lord sware that he would not show them that land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua, listen, Joshua obeyed God and he circumcised them. And they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass because they obeyed, because they crossed over the small river, because they went and sent spies in the land between Rahab and the spies. They made a covenant. And Joshua, and just like when Moses sent the spies, I think he sent 10. Eight of them came back with a bad report. The only ones that didn't come back with a bad report was who? Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones. But the other ones, their eyes of what they saw and their feelings of what they felt prohibited them from going over into Canaan land. And guess what? They died in the wilderness. And that's what Hebrews chapter 4 talks about. Not that the word wasn't preached, but the word was not mixed with faith. Amen. And see, what happens is we get all these thoughts in our mind, right? And that what they do, they're like weeds and vines, and they grow up around the will of what God is telling you to do. And you're led by your flesh, and you're led by how you feel. Because when the thought stays there, what you see, right? The thought works its way into our feelings. When the word is not working to shoot down, listen, and I'm going somewhere. When the word is not working to shoot down them thoughts every day that shouldn't be in your head, those thoughts become sedimentary. They become sedimentary and they work themselves down in your feeling. And next thing you know, you're feeling some type of way and you don't know why, but because it started with a thought. And the next thing you know, you're acting out what you feel because it's in you. And that's where a stronghold is built up. And because they did not, in Numbers chapter 13, because the children of Israel were led by how they feel, they disobeyed God. And not only that, but they started bickering. They started moaning. They started complaining. God had given them the land. All they had to do was walk. God would have fought for them. And we see the man with the drawn sword hand after, and still in Joshua chapter 6, still in Joshua chapter 6, right? What he says in verse 7, and their children raised up in their stead, and Joshua circumcised for them, because they had not been circumcised. And it came to pass, when he had done circumcising all the people that had abode in their place because they obeyed God, took him at his word, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach. Have I rolled away the reproach? Have I rolled away the curse? There was a curse. There was a stronghold. And when Jesus says you can speak to the mountains and the mountains will be removed, guess what? There's some strongholds in some of our lives and some people that have been through some things, even coming from down south, there's some strongholds built up in some people that are stronger than mountains. And the only way that those mountains can go down is our obedience to the word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high thing, every lofty thing, imaginations that exalt itself against the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Guess what, y'all? Y'all listen. We listen. How can we profess to know Christ, to go to church every week, come to Bible? Listen, listen. I must see deliverance in the daddy. There's some things in me that God, the word, is pointing at that must come down. There's some thoughts in me that must be, that must come out. There's some backwards thinking in me. Anybody ever thought backwards? There's some things in my marriage. There's some things in my children. And guess what? We're not going to sit up in Community Baptist Church and go through the motion and play church. And we're bound when we come out the church. We're bound to addiction. We're bound to habits. We're bound to unforgiveness. We're bound to crazy thoughts. We're bound to depression. We're bound to or anxiety. And all these things that we can be bound to, guess what? They start off as a thought. And if the washing machine of the word doesn't cleanse it out before it becomes rooted and embedded in my heart, guess what? It grows. It grows. And it turns into a stronghold. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Christians, carnal Christians, we've got some carnal people right in the church that can go through the motion of having church. Praise God. I think about Judas. Judas was right there with the disciples. He blended in. He fit in. And you mean Peter couldn't tell where Judas was hanging out. John, the one who he laid on. Amen. That's what, there's some carnal Christians that can play the game. Amen. And so when it says here, listen, for though we walk in the flesh, in verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, we can't profess to know Christ, to walk in the power of God, in the love of God, and the grace of God, and our lives be in shambles. Don't get me wrong. We serve a God of grace. He's willing to forgive us. But we got to know what we have. We got to know who we are. Amen. And this is, listen, even we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every thing, high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. Y'all see that? Every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. And this is the key. Listen, this is where we miss the mark. And we love to read that. Even myself, I love to quote it. But having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. It's the word of God meditating, and it's our obedience that engages the Holy Ghost to fight. Amen. That's why when they left there, they got circumcised, got rolled away the reproach. He rolled away the strong. They were cursed. He rolled it away. And then Joshua came to the man with the drawn sword hand. And Joshua said, are you with us or are you forgive or are you against us? Right? And what the man said, this is what the man said. He said, take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. That was nobody other with the sword in his hand. The man was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Nowhere else in the Bible do you see God permitting an angel to be worshipped. Amen. Christ showed up. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When he said walk around march around the walls of Jericho 7 times. It wasn't the physical march per se, but it was their obedience where Christ rolled away the reproach. And now, you talk about power. Boy, them walls came down. Amen? Let's look at James. We talk about carnal Christians, right, and how people can be carnal in the church. Verse 13 says, who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if he had any bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is what? Earthly, sensual, and it is devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Amen? Every evil work. Listen, y'all. We talk about the old man and the new man. And it's the soul that stands in between. Amen. And it's the renewing of the mind that conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. And we talk about these gospel verses, right? We got to die to ourselves. We got to die to what we feel. Amen. And when he talks about, but if you have bitter envying and strifes in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. We talk about the root of bitterness. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Man, this root of bitterness is something. And guess what? There are layers to this thing. Because when the spirit of religion comes in on top of bitterness, it can cover it up. But just like we talked about Judas played the game. But you know what his stronghold was? Money. Amen? And you ever friends with somebody, right? And you know them for years, and all of a sudden, whatever that stronghold is, because guess what, y'all? What goes in must come out. People can be in the church all their life, but there will be some telltale sign. You shall know them by their fruit. And guess what? The devil's got fruits. Amen? And what I said was that to say it's going to come out. Money. When the woman was washing, when Mary was washing Jesus' feet, the first thing his mind thought of, the money. He had the money bag. Amen. And he was the one that came with that. You know, we could sell and we could be giving that money to the poor. He wasn't, and the Bible says he wasn't thinking about the poor. Right? And then when they persuaded Judas to sell out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, it was the money. That was his stronghold. Amen. And probably some more with it. But there's certain strongholds, there's certain roots, right? And that when you can have it laying dormant, being in the church for 20 years, but when the devil gets ready to dial it up and push that button, guess what? Here it comes. Verse 15, chapter 12 of Hebrews 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness without, no man can see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many be defiled. And I used to think that word bitterness was they just a bitter person. The bitterness that he's talking about is poison. Amen? That's a poison that people can have. Lest any man or fornicator, profane person as Esau, one who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Amen? He wasn't going to die. But because there was a root in him, there was something in him, amen, there was some bitterness in him where he sold out his birthright. For you know how afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, He was rejected and found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And that's the spirit of bitterness. And also we can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We talk about the old man, right? On his sheet. And we talk about the new man. The spirit is aware, sensitive, understanding, motivation. The soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotion. We're made up of a triune being. That's the way man is. We're made up of spirit, body, soul, and spirit. In the body, you have your sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell. Those are the gates, right? In the soul, you are made up of mind, will, and emotions. Okay. So when we talk about here in Ephesians chapter 4, 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, talking about your speech, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another, right? Mm-hmm. And when he talks about put to be renewed, put on the new man, in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit, where? Of your mind. When we talked about, and I preached this a couple weeks ago, but God opened my eyes up to it after the fact. And he was driving it home. And don't get me wrong, you can teach a text and get something out of it. But it was afterwards where God really opened up John 8:31. Because see, y'all, before we get saved, we are in bed. David said, I was born in what? Sin. He was shaped in iniquity. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he says, in sin did my mother conceive me. And so guess what, y'all? We're shaped with so much stuff when we come out of the world. And the soul is embedded there. Right? But then Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. That means the truth of who we are, what we have, where the battle is, and the truth shall set you free. It's the renewing, continuing in the word, renewing of the word, that when these thoughts come in, when these attitudes and these feelings come in, amen, we're counterclockwise, and these things are shaped and shifted out of us because we continue in the word of God. Listen, and then he says, listen, I'm still in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, be angry and sin not. In verse 26, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen? Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And guess what? And when the sun goes down on our wrath, guess what? And I'm going to use this example. I'm just going to use me and my wife. Right? There could be something that happens between me and my wife. Right? And to me, it could be small, or it could be big. To her, it could be small, it could be big. But guess what? If we both choose, we know it's there, we know it's a problem, but we choose to just, you know what, I'm just going to forget about it and block it out and go to sleep on it. Somebody said, did anybody ever tell you, just go to sleep on it? No, don't go to sleep on it. Right? We got to get this thing up. We got to get this thing out. And there's so many things that come into our mind the same way. That if you let the sun go down on your wrath, guess what? It bakes in. It becomes sedimentary. It grows into a... It can grow into a stronghold. It can become a problem. And we could go back to 5 years ago to an argument that we had that we never resolved. Amen. And because we didn't resolve it, it's turned into bitterness in somebody's heart. And it comes back, whether it's an argument, whether it's something we see, whether it's something we hear, whether it's something we saw on Facebook or whatever. Those things stay embedded in us. Amen. And they can grow into something much larger. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. There's also a verse that talks about husbands cleansing his wives, or cleansing in the word. It's the word that washes us. And I'm telling y'all, there's so many people that, and men that are struggling, going through depression, going through so many things. And they'll go to the doctor, because when we aren't careful to deal with depression, deal with thoughts, deal with things, they can fester. And guess what? They'll have physical effects on our bodies, right? And you'll be thinking, something wrong, I need to go to the doctor. And guess what? You go to the doctor, what the doctor going to do? Doctor going to get his pad? And he's going to write you something out to take care of something that's spiritual. And you take that pill. Amen. And the real problem is not physical at all. The real problem is spiritual. And that's why you got this billion-dollar drug industry. Oh. Trillion. All these companies. And guess what? Man is going in a cycle, going deeper and deeper. And they give us these pills to hide and block. But these things, amen, they become embedded. They become, man is a hot mess without Christ. Amen. We are a mess without Christ. We need him. Amen. I meet so many people, and people with spouses that are on Xanax. And so many of these drugs, people mentally depressed, anxious, worried, all these things. Amen. And guess what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, guess what? We would be right there. Amen. To pull down these strongholds. And that's why it's important every day for us to conform to the image of Christ. It's so important for us to be in this word. Amen. And I thank God for the word in the morning, the book of John.
Yes.
As we go through the book of John, I thank God because, man, that word still works. Mm-hmm. It still works on me even throughout the day. And so we just want to be in prayer. We want to be in prayer. And only Christ, we have the answer, y'all. Yes. We've got the solution. And his name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's the only way. He's the only truth.
Yep.
Whether it's habitual sins, whether it's alcohol, whether it's addiction. Guess what? Even physical sickness, cancer. Guess what? Christ is the only solution.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless you, oh God, just for who you are, to know that you are God. All by yourself, and beside you, there is none other. We thank you for this lesson on tonight. We thank you, oh God, Lord, even in our text, to know that you said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, excellent, and perfect will of God. God, you've called, although we're in this world, we're not of this world. But God, you said in your word that as we behold the mirror in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we grow from glory to glory. We behold you as in a mirror, and we grow in you. And so God, we thank you. We bless you, oh God, and we praise you as a cocoon is transformed into a butterfly. That cocoon dies. That caterpillar, he dies in the cocoon. Oh God, and you've called us to die daily to ourselves that you might live. You said, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. God, there are so many people going through, not even just in the world, even in our families, even people we work with, even people we come into contact with that are lost, dealing with the spirit of escapism, trying to escape a pain, trying to escape something that only your word can deliver us from. God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you just continue to break strongholds, that you continue to roll away the reproach that's even amongst people, that, Lord, we will walk in the spirit, that we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul even said, oh God, in Romans chapter 7, the things he wants to do, he's not doing. The things he don't want to do are the things that he ends up doing. Then he goes on to say, oh wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of flesh? God, we thank you because we have the answer. We have the solution. Oh God, it's all about you and not about us. Help us to conform, shape us, mold us into the image. Oh God, and it's our death to us that God, the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in our lives. Your love is manifested. Your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your faith. God, turn up your fruit even in our lives that when people see us, God, they see you. You said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples when we have love. Help us, oh God. Go with us. By their fruits, you said, you will know them. So God, we love you. Those that are sick, those that are afflicted, those that are going through, oh God, we pray for them. We lift them up. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for sick we pray. Amen.